Welcome to the Clubhouse with Shane Bacon. I am your host, Shane Bacon, and an exciting guest is joining us this week, coming off a big win, a defending victory at the CIMB Classic. Justin Thomas makes his return here at the Clubhouse. Justin enjoying not only a great final round in Malaysia, that final round 64, five birdies to close out his third round after a bit of early struggles in that round, but adds another victory, two PGA Tour wins. Starts his wraparound season the right way, defending champion. Took some time to chat with us, chatted Alabama football, chatted SBK 16, and some hopeful plans for maybe a return next year with him and the other three. We talked a little jet lag, which was a really exciting conversation, of course. I know you're excited for that. And then I asked him a new question that I'm going to ask all the guests to close out the podcast. Justin's a great dude. Not only obviously a great golfer, but some great causes as well. Did birdies for Matthew for three straight events, donated some money to some hurricane victims down in Florida. So it was a great chat, great to catch up with Justin Thomas, especially with the way he has started this wraparound season. But first things first, this week's episode of the Clubhouse is brought to you by Swing Juice. Guys, I know you watched the 30 for 30 on John Daly this past week, so I wanted to let you know, Swing Juice has a John Daly t-shirt up on their site right now. John in his element, cigarette fully lit, flashy pants, of course, activated, is a fun example of the great t-shirts that Swing Juice has to offer. Go to swingjuice.com right now. Use the offer code BACON. You'll save 20%. Holidays are fast approaching. I saw Christmas stuff out at Target yesterday. Swing Juice makes great gifts for anyone and everybody in your life that loves the game. Make sure you check out all the great gear at swingjuice.com right now. The offer code is BACON. That will save you 20% on all orders. A couple of house cleaning items, and then we'll get into Justin Thomas. First things first, listen, I give love to podcasts that do a great job. The No Laying Up podcast this week had Rory McIlroy on, of course. Rory is, you know, he's a great chat. Let's be honest. I mean, he's one of the best players in the world, one of the most noticeable golfers in the world, No Laying Up. Had a lengthy conversation with Rory. Definitely worth checking out. The podcast is simply No Laying Up Podcast, so if you search it on anywhere, podcasts are available. A great chat there. So a shout-out to Chris Solomon and the great work he does there, and a shout-out to Rory because, you know, there's not many athletes as candid as Rory is, especially considering how high he is in terms of notoriety. I mean, he is as noticeable as really anybody out there in sports right now. Another shout out to Brandon Harkins. You might remember Brandon. He nearly made an ace at the 17th at Oakmont this year in the U.S. Open. Great guy. Was playing in this Papago money game they have here in Phoenix that I occasionally will donate money to when I play in it. Papago, not an easy golf course. If you've ever got a chance to play it as a municipal golf course right in the middle of the city, you see it a lot when you land at Sky Harbor. But it's a challenging place. Par threes are some 250 yards, three of the four par threes at the golf course. Harkins went, he had an American, which of course is when you go back-to-back eagles. He goes, eagle, eagle, birdie, 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 par birdie to close out the money game, 11 under par, insane. I mean, I don't even know what you can say about that. 11 under his last 10 holes. You might remember, of course, Harkin from Oakmont, and of course, a great round there. I'm not going to spoil anything, but he did win a decent amount of money thanks to that close. He has second stage Q school this week, so good luck to him. But I just wanted to say I love seeing these things because, you know, we focus so much on the pro game and PGA Tour events and what guys did at the WGC and what they're going to do in Vegas and yada, yada, yada. And this is a reminder that these guys play in stuff all the time. I mean, it might be for $300, but they're still out there competing, and there's so many good players out there, especially now, especially young guys. These guys have no fear of going low. I think we're going to see a five in front of a few scores in the next year and a half on the PGA and Web.com Tour. But that's enough of me. Justin Thomas is up next here at the Clubhouse. Great conversation with JT. Really appreciate it. So let's get into it. And we now welcome into the Clubhouse for the second time, Justin Thomas. Justin, I ask the same question to every guest, and despite it being fairly early, I know on Thursday, I'm going to go with it. Have you had, and what have you had to eat today?
I have not eaten a single thing. I've taken one sip of the water that's next to my bed. Other than that, I've just been watching SportsCenter.
It's a good SportsCenter day. I flipped it right over to Van Pelt the moment the Cubs won it. I'm assuming you stayed up and watched the entire game.
I did, yes. It's not a good day to watch it if you're an Indians fan, but I could really care less last night, so I was just kind of checking it out.
Yeah, and I mean, I didn't have a dog in the fight either in that baseball game, but you know, it was so nerve-wracking at the end. I mean, when the Indians, you know, hit the home run and it tied up. I mean, does every sports fan feel that? I mean, if you have a heartbeat, I mean, are you getting clammy? Are you getting nervous knowing that, you know, not only are the Cubs going for something historical, but the Indians are trying to do the same thing?
Yeah, I know. I kind of found myself going for Cleveland for some reason. I don't know why. I don't. I think, to me, the fact that it was at Cleveland and at home was really cool for them if they would have won. But I mean, obviously, it was really cool for the Cubs to win. But yeah, I was getting pretty amped. I mean, it's hard not to. I think I really got nervous and just kind of antsy in the tenth when they got that, you know, that winning run at the plate potentially, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like they're one swing away from this thing being over. So it was, you know, unfortunately we can't have that every year in the World Series or NBA Finals or Super Bowl because it doesn't get much better in that game.
Yeah, and I think we'd probably have a lot more heart-related deaths if every single sporting event came down to something like that going extra innings. I really did think I was with you. I thought there was a really good chance they were going to tie it up, and then I was sitting there going, you know, this it had to feel like we could go 15 or 16 innings. But I wanted to ask you, you know, you're East Coast. You've been traveling all over the world. I mean, it was late there when that game ended. You have you been struggling with sleep considering you were in Malaysia and China and flying back here, you know, all in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, I was just I was over watching it at a buddy's house, and it was just like, you know, I look at my phone when it's done, and I think it was what like 12:45 or 1 or something. I was like, well, there we go. I guess it's not going to sleep too early, but yeah, it's been tough. I usually am pretty good at adjusting the time when I travel places, and I did not feel I did very well. 2 weeks in Malaysia and China. I mean, two straight weeks, I think 6 o'clock was the latest I slept. I mean, I woke up at 3:30, probably two or three times. I mean, on Sunday of Malaysia, I was up at 4, you know, watching an Alabama game, and then China, I couldn't really sleep either, and it's just, I just couldn't stay up past 9 or 9:30. I mean, I really couldn't. I was so tired every day, and then ever since getting back to the States, I've just been really, really tired of the middle of the day because that 12-hour time change, and then I've gotten a little better. I've slept a little later each day, so but I guess staying up till 1:45 or so will help my cause, but yeah, it's tough. It's just it wears on your body.
Yeah, I was over in South Korea a couple of weeks ago, and I haven't done the Asia trip in probably a decade. I don't think I've been over there since my sister was living in Japan. And when I got back, I was such a mess. I mean, I was standing until 4 in the morning, and then, you know, I mean, I have stuff to do during the day. I was going to ask you, you know, when you go over there, and you're mentioning the time you slept too, I mean, you know, I mean, you need to get sleep. You're playing in a professional golf event, and, you know, you have a chance to win it, which you did. I mean, is it mentally tough to do that? Because for me, I'm just over there for work. I mean, if I get 5 hours of sleep, I get 5 hours of sleep. But for you, I mean, you need to get up, be refreshed, be ready to go, and you don't want to be mentally lagging because you didn't get, you know, you didn't get your proper amount of sleep you would normally.
Yeah, I think, what day was it? I think it was on Friday, maybe, in Malaysia. I woke up really early, and my body felt terrible. I mean, I told Jimmy, I was like, look, this is going to need to be a patient and kind of conservative day. I was like, I don't feel very good. Like, I think it was Thursday. It was, I woke up at like 3 on Thursday, and I couldn't go back to sleep, and we were later. I mean, there's still all the tea times in the morning there, but still, I mean, I was up for, you know, for 6 hours before I was playing or 7 hours. And it's just, it's tough, but there's nothing you can do. So the main thing is just trying to get some rest. I mean, I try to just find something to do. I mean, I'll watch some movies, and luckily at that time of day when you're up, everyone's up on the other side. So you can at least kind of FaceTime some people or just or text some people just to kind of keep you busy, or like I did. And or in the case of Sunday morning, I had Alabama football to get me through. So I, you know, it is what it is. It's tough, but I guess I don't know what I've done right, but I've managed to do something right somehow in Malaysia.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to ask you, are you going to do like dual citizenship or get another passport? I mean, you obviously like like going over there. I mean, you know, first player to go back to back, I think, since Matt Every. But you know, you played that final round, but it wasn't just the final round that was so impressive. And you talked about this after your win. It was that close in the third round, those five birdies to close after you know, I mean, you struggled early on in the second nine. What clicked? I mean, what changed there for you to close out that third round and then get into that final round and shoot that 64?
Yeah, it was, I mean, it was huge. It was the reason I won the tournament. I don't know what it is about that course. I mean, I find it very, very scoreable, obviously, and I'm very, very comfortable on it. And I couldn't fathom the fact that I was four over par on it. Like, I was just like, is this really happening? I mean, I didn't know you could even shoot over par, let alone be four over. And I'm like, I'm just kind of going along out in the course, and I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like, I par out. I embarrass myself right here. I was like, not only that, but like, this is my, you know, defending at a two-shot lead going into the weekend. Like, you know, this isn't how I wanted to handle this. And I just kept telling myself, you know, I'm better than this. Like, it's just a rough stretch. You know, pretty much every player has this stretch some point in the tournament, and I can't just let, you know, a couple holes or a 12-hole stretch cost me the tournament here. So I just stayed patient, and Jimmy and I just tried to regroup, and I've played 14 well in 2 years I've played there. And from there out, I just really just kind of stayed patient, and I was like, you know, we got some good scoring goals here. I can at least get it back to within six or something like that, maybe, and then I have a chance. And I was fortunate enough just to birdie those last five, and it made all the difference in the world.
Yeah, and where does, I mean, you've played a ton of competitive golf since, I mean, you know, were probably single digit age. I mean, where does that final round 64 rank in terms of rounds you've played, rounds you needed to play well, you know, in that moment, in that final round on a Sunday, you know, in a big stage like that?
Yeah, I've never really thought of it. I haven't thought of it like that yet, but I mean, it's up there for sure. It's just, I did everything I needed to do. I got off to a good start, and I mean, it didn't go how I thought it was going to go with Arnabon on three there, but I still did what I needed to do, and it definitely ranks up there. I felt like I played really, really solid, really, really well. I didn't make any mistakes, and you know, the couple I made on 12 and 13, I got up and down a safe par, which is just as important, if not more important, than the birdie. So it definitely ranks up there for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, you win, you know, you went basically a year without winning. I mean, you defended at CIMB, but you know, you played solid all year long. I mean, you had a lot of great finishes. You got really close in a lot of events, but it was really the end of the season and the start of this wraparound season, I think, that probably the momentum carried over to this victory. How would you rank, or what would be your thoughts on your 2016 season, you know, heading into the CIMB and now after the win? You know, what are your thoughts on the way you're playing right now, you know, compared to everybody else in the world?
Yeah, I felt like I was really, really starting to play a lot better. Kind of come the beginning of the playoffs, like the Barclays, I was just working hard with my dad and Matt Killen and putting coach, and just trying to kind of figure out, you know, what I need to do to get more consistent, because I felt like I really had not had that great of a year by any means. I mean, I had some really, really good finishes, but as the consistency comes, it was very, very below average, I would say, for my standard. And it was a little frustrating, but I knew I was closer than the results showed. So I just tried to stay patient, and I kind of got in a good little groove there where I was really, really hitting the ball well, and kind of getting back to how I'd normally or used to hit the ball. And I switched putters and at the Barclays, and I've putted pretty well since then. It's really, it's kind of been the reason why I've been where I have in the tournaments. And I don't know, it just got in a little bit of a groove there, and I was hitting it so good, and to where it was kind of hard not to at least be somewhat around the lead, or at least, top 10 or 15. So it's just nice to start to play. Like, I feel like I know I can again. And, you know, I wish it was, hopefully I can keep this going and have a good productive off season to where I can continue that play come Kapalua.
Yeah, and we always hear players that take the off season, whatever the PGA Tour off season is. I feel like there's not even one anymore. But, you know, they take the time off away from playing in events, and they focus on, you know, I'm going to work on my wedge game, or I'm going to try to, you know, work more on five footers, or, you know, maybe I'm not hitting enough fairways. Is there something that you and your team have looked at, like maybe let's really work on this over the next 3-4 months before the actual 2017 season gets going?
Well, I wish I had 3 or 4 months where I had nothing, but I unfortunately probably only have about 4 weeks or 3 weeks at the end of the day. In all honesty, I just can't wait to not play golf. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I finally hit me in China how burnt out I was and how and just how tired I was. You know, I mean, I was talking to my parents and Jimmy. I was like, I mean, we've had 2 weeks off is the most we've had off, and 2 weeks off isn't really 2 weeks off when you're on tour, because that second week off, you're practicing to get ready for the next week. So it's basically 1 week off, and I was like, we've basically been going nonstop since I left, you know, December 30th for Kapalua, and it's, you know, it's October now. I'm like, what? You know, it's understandable to be feeling like this, and winning takes a lot out of you. Even being in contention does. And I was just in China, and I had the hardest time getting into it and just really having that motivation out there to play. And I was like, man, I haven't felt this on a golf course in a really long time. So the most important thing really is just getting rested and just kind of take some time off to where I get excited to go out and practice and do this and that. But in terms of actual stuff about the game, I mean, definitely hitting more fairways and just some little stuff around the greens. I feel like if I can tidy those up, then I'll be in contention to win a lot more.
And what does an off season look like for you? I mean, what is time away? I mean, you know, is it, I mean, are you going to get on the boat? Or are you going to, you know, go watch, you know, more Alabama football? I mean, what is time away for you look like when you think about it in your mind?
I mean, if we had the time off that I would, and a lot of people would probably like, I would definitely take a bunch of trips. I mean, realistically, between going to play Dunlop Phoenix here in a couple weeks, and then I'm playing Shark Shootout. I mean, the most time I'll have off this off season is about 3 or 4 weeks. So it's not like it. And then, you know, I have holidays or Christmas or little things here and there. So it's really not, you know, it's only about 2 weeks or so.
Right.
But I love taking trips with some friends. I really do. I think it's the best way to get your mind off of everything and to recoup and recharge and just have some fun. And, we kind of started a little annual thing last year with some of my boys from Bama, Corey Whitsitt, Bobby Wyatt, Trey Monax. They all come down to Jupiter and hang. And we just have like a little, just a week of just having fun and just playing some casual golf and just getting together and really just kind of having fun and doing nothing, you know, not feeling like we need to go practice and grind and do this or that, but get together and try to enjoy it like we did in college. And so they come down and hang out, and then, actually Trey's getting married next year. So we have his bachelor party in December. And so I'm going to probably have my dosage of those guys, this off season, but I'm going to go to the Iron Bowl too, when we play Auburn. And, that's a trip I try to make every time we play in Tuscaloosa. So, you know, between that and a couple of tournaments, next thing you know, we'll be leaving again in January.
Yeah. And you know, I wanted to get into, I mean, I don't want to talk about strictly your trip, you know, obviously that made headlines earlier this year, but I did want to talk about kind of your friendships on tour. First things first, I just wanted to say the Halloween costume was very much on point. I thought you really pulled it off. If people haven't seen it, we'll toss a photo up on the Clubhouse Pod Twitter account, but you went as a buddy of yours. You went as Ricky Fowler, and I wanted to ask, did you throw that together last minute, or is that something you'd been thinking about, especially when he brought out the I guess, what would you call them, the crinched pants in the early part of the season?
Yeah, well, I didn't even realize that we were getting home on Halloween. And, like, it was, like, Saturday, and we were on the same flight home. And I'm like, dude, we get home on Halloween. Like, what are we going to do? And, I mean, it's not like there's really much going on a Monday anyway. And it was – and I think we were both a little too tired and anything to go anywhere or stay in L.A. or anything like that. So – we just decided we were just going to go home, and Gonna go back to Jupiter and just kind of chill and just kind of hang in front of the house and just hand out some candy to anybody who came. I mean, it was just kind of, it was so nice outside, and we just had a couple bodies, and my mom was in town, helped me move into my new house, and we just kind of sat out there for a couple hours and just threw the football, and Ricky just threw on like a onesie or something, I think he got the Ryder Cup, and I just came in shorts and t-shirt. He's like, well, what do you, he's like, you don't have a costume? I was like, no, I got in from China this morning. I don't know if you remember that. And I was like, hold on a second, I'll be right back. And then I just went in his house, and I just tried to grab the most absurd things put together I could, and I came out, and I was like, all right, I'm ready. We're good to go.
Well, you did a good job. I even thought it kind of matched. That's why I was wondering if somebody, if you, Puma sent it to you or something. So well done. I thought you really... You pulled off the Ricky. He had to been impressed. And also, shout out, I don't know if it was you that did this, but you guys went full candy bar for the Halloween give out. That is a pro and adult move, and I just want to let you know.
Oh, yeah.
You're a young guy. That's very impressive.
Well, we didn't, you know, where we're at, there's not too many people coming by or too many kids. So fortunately for them, the few kids that came around made their stops and they made them count. They got their fair share of candy, that's for sure.
Well, and I mentioned the friendship. I mean, you guys went, you know, in the middle of the season, and again, it kind of blew up. It was, I don't know if you guys had any idea that it was going to be like that, but, you know, you, Smiley, and Jordan, and Ricky, you know, you go on a vacation, and then it, and kind of chronicle it on Snapchat, and people, I mean, they were stories. I mean, I think, like, all the golf outlets were writing stories and posting pictures and screen grabbing the Snapchat, but, you know, I wanted to go beyond that, and you know, you guys are young guys. I mean, you're young professional athletes that... You know, you make a lot of money, you're very successful, you guys have all won. You know, how important is those friendships, and how much have they grown, you know, over the last, you know, 10 or 11 months? I mean, you guys are together all the time. You're playing in pretty much all the same events. How important is it to be around those guys knowing you have true friends, you know, in top 10 players in the world?
Yeah, it's really important. It's really fun, too. I mean, I've gotten really, really close with all of them. The last couple of years. I mean, I've known Smiley the longest, I'd say. We just grew up playing the same junior tour and stuff like that. And I mean, I've known Jordan for a long time too. And obviously Ricky and I, both being down here in Jupiter, we hang out the most, I'd say, off the course or away from tournaments, obviously. But, I don't know. There's something about just kind of the four of us together that just clicks and we have fun. And that doesn't matter whether playing a practice round or at dinner or just on a vacation, you know, we just enjoy kind of hanging around each other. And it is important, not only because it is a grind out on tour and you need to be sure you stay relaxed and have fun, but we're also in our, you know, low 20s, you know, we need to act our age and have some fun, at least for me. I think the other guys feel the same. It's just, there's no really need to be out there grinding so hard all year. And it's so hard to not that we have it tough by any means what we're doing, but it is a grind, and we spend a lot of time working on what we do to get as good as we have. And if we don't sit back and enjoy it ever, it's just, we're going to wear ourselves into the ground. So I think, I'm glad that we did that. I mean, we had no intention of our trip blowing up like it did. I think everyone else enjoyed it almost more than we did, but it's cool how it did work out and how, you know, we get recognized for it. It's pretty funny, but yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I mean, do you guys have already the plans for, what is it? Is it SBK 18? Is that what it would be called, I guess?
Yeah, SBK 17. We'll be going somewhere. I don't know. It's just hard to get four guys who play year round on the same schedule, but we'll definitely make something happen. We don't know when or where, but everyone will find out eventually.
Do you think that there's a chance for maybe a free agent to join the group? I mean, maybe like a Rory or maybe another young player, maybe a rookie that's coming up that's buddies with you guys.
Well, I don't know if we want Rory to come, because the amount of time we spend away from our shirts, we might get a little bit embarrassed and a little self-conscious. So if he comes, we may have to require a shirt only policy for him. But no. We don't know. I mean, so many people and so many guys have wanted to come, and yeah, we'd love to have everybody come, but the reality is it's just not very feasible to have, you know, 20 guys to be able to do that. And I don't know. We're just worried about getting us four in the same spot in the same week and having fun, but we'll see what happens. Who knows?
Yeah, for sure. Rory, just so you know, tank top, not optional. You have to have the tank top on at all times. And I wanted to ask you guys, I'm sure you guys communicate. I'm assuming there's some sort of a group text chat, not just between you, but I'm sure there's some other people involved. Is it strictly just trash talking between the four of you guys, or is there a little bit more substance involved?
It's just everything. I mean, it's not, you know, it's nothing hidden that people think that they don't do with their buddies. I mean, yeah, we give each other grief and we have fun, but I mean, more so than anything, we support each other. You know, it's like that when one of us plays well, I would say that in our little group text is the first place we're going to hear about it from each other, you know, saying good job or congrats or good playing and we're pulling for you kind of thing. And, I mean, during the Ryder Cup, Smiley and I were nonstop sending pictures and videos and texts to those guys, you know, cheering them on. And it's just little stuff like that. I mean, it's same stuff I have with my buddies at home who don't play golf. It's just, you know, we all happen to, you know, be some of the best players in the world, I guess.
And I wanted to switch gears to something that I know you've already mentioned close to you, and it's hard for me to understand it. So I just wanted to get a feel for somebody that roots for this. Alabama football. You know, I have one team that I root for in my life, and it's University of Arizona. It's where I went to school. And, you know, we've never made a Final Four since I've been there. Our football team is usually kind of trash. So I just wanted to ask, as an Alabama fan who expects victory, I mean, you have to expect victory week in and week out. What is it like when a football game is close for you? Because, I mean, for the most part, you guys win pretty much every time. So, I mean, do you get stressed out?
Oh, my gosh. It's terrible. I mean, I've admitted it, and I know I am, and my dad tells me all the time, I'm a terrible fan. Like, I get very into the games. I'm so moody and emotional. Like, last year at Sony, we watched the national championship, just a bunch of us and some of the guys who work for the tour, and Colt Ness is a really good buddy of mine, and we watched it, and he was like, I'm not watching a game with you anymore. He's like, that was not fun. He's like, you're just a little girl. He's like, all you do is just whine and complain when stuff's going bad, and then you get all happy and cheery. I'm like, ah, it could be a little over exaggeration from Colt's part, but I'm very, very passionate about Alabama. I loved every second of the 2 years I had there. I mean, the friendships I have with the guys on the team and the coaches and people that went to school there. I was talking to somebody about that the other day. They were like, I just don't understand how you can be so into it. And I was like, well, I don't think you understand how much I enjoyed University of Alabama and how much I love Tuscaloosa. I mean, there's Bud Colley and Bud's a roommate of mine and played in Alabama too. We went to Tuscaloosa, I think the week after tour championship. And, it was just, you know, flying in there and like seeing Bryant Denny and like just driving through campus. It's like, we're both so giddy. It's unbelievable. Like there's just no place that makes me happier to go than when I'm pulling onto McFarland and driving through Tuscaloosa and seeing the stadium and going to the places I love to go. Like, I just get so excited. So it's just something about that school just really does it for me. And, I don't know. I love it.
All right. So you're it's start of the season next year. You've got your cell phone in your pocket. You're hitting range balls. You get a call. You answer it, and it's Nick Saban, and he says, "Hey man, season's over. I was just wondering if you'd let me caddy for you in a PGA Tour event." What are you going to say to him?
Absolutely not. I would be more nervous than if anybody caddied for me. But Coach is a very good guy. I've been fortunate enough to get to know him pretty well, and first off, there's no way he's doing that, because that dude is nonstop all year. I've been trying to get him to play the AT&T for however many years now. I think I'm just going to give up, just because he's so busy recruiting. And you would think, being in February or whenever it is, that he's got plenty of free time, and he doesn't. There's a reason why he's the best at what he does. It's because he takes it very seriously, and he grinds so hard get the best players and the best team and to be working for the next year, that I know he wouldn't have just a week to spare, but it would be I would be pretty nervous if he, you know, if he was out there caddying for me and he's telling me to do this or that and I don't do it. I don't know if he'd lay into me like he lays in the lane or something like that if something bad just happened.
Could you imagine if you, like, left a bunker shot in the bunker and his look he'd give you? He probably wouldn't even rake it. He'd probably make you rake it.
He'd probably throw the rake at me or do something like that. But, I mean, I guess if I do as well as the Crimson Tide do when he coaches them, then I need to figure out if I can get him out for a week.
Yeah, you may be going a huge run. Maybe Saban is the answer to all sports. Who knows? I wanted to ask, you did this really cool thing called Birdies for Matthew after the devastating hurricane that hit Florida. And I just wanted to first of all, for you to kind of expand on what it was and also where the idea came about.
Yeah, I was actually when I was when I was flying out to California or when I was flying home, when I was flying home from Tuscaloosa, I went there during the hurricane to go practice for California for Safeway. And I was coming home and I'm just like, you know, this is so devastating to me. I didn't know it was going to be this severe. I've never experienced a hurricane before being a Kentucky boy and only living down here a couple of years. And I was like, man, this is insane how serious this was and how many lives it impacted. So I'm like, is there just something I can do? I texted my dad and my agent. I'm like, you know, what's something that we can do to help out to this hurricane? You know, I'm going on a 3-week stretch here. Like, let's do something for every birdie I make or for this or for that. Like, I want to give back in some sort of way. I'm so lucky to get to do what I do and feel like I live such a great life. And there's a lot of people out there that are not as fortunate, and they're definitely not as fortunate now that they went through this hurricane. So any way that I could give back to help them out was great. And it was really cool. I ended up making a lot of birdies to help out.
Yeah, you made a ton of birdies, especially obviously at the CIMB. A couple more and I'll let you go. I you did mention the Ryder Cup, and I just wanted to ask, how much of it did you watch?
I didn't watch any on Saturday because that was game day and I was preoccupied with other things and watching that. But Sunday, I watched the entire thing at the guy's house that we stayed at. And I think we watched some on Friday too. But, I was obviously pulling hard. I mean, Smiley and I were FaceTiming back and forth and texting, watching. But, it's I love watching golf. I do. And especially love watching the Ryder Cup. I hope to never watch another one again. I hope to be there playing and experiencing it, but it is what it is, and I was glad to see those boys get it done.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you've got 2018, and of course you were super close to making the team anyway, really a Ryan Moore late run away probably from landing a spot, so I'm assuming 2018 will be your year. And at 2018, I mean, this team could be full of 25, 26-year-olds. It could be insane, I mean, especially with some of the young players coming up. I mean, there's a chance, I mean, despite maybe a 50-year-old Phil Mickelson, that this team could almost be all 20-year-olds when we get to that point, considering how much talent and how deep the talent is with young American golf right now.
Yeah, it definitely could be. And it's just, the team was very young this year, and it's just, it is how it is. And so many of us are hungry and ready to win and just want to get out there. So it's not from a lack of fear or anything like that. You know, we're ready to go and we're hungry. So I think 2018 could be a really cool year, but I obviously need to take care of my business and do what I can to get on that team first. And then we'll go from there.
Last two. First is very easy. What do you think? What's your percentage confidence that Alabama does win this national championship?
I'll put it at probably 90%.
I agree. I'd like to see him play the Browns. I know people bring this up a lot, but just like to
no,
see the defense.
I don't think they'd have a chance.
Like to see the defense out there. It'd be sneaky. And I'm gonna ask this question now. I asked the food question to start. I'm gonna ask this. You're gonna be the first one that gets this. But my final question now to everybody that comes on is: who is the most famous person you've ever asked for their autograph?
I've asked MJ to sign it. I had like an old North Carolina like throwback jersey that I wanted him to sign just to get kind of for my man cave in my house. So someday, but I had him sign one of those a couple years ago for me. So I don't know. I can't really think of anything more famous than him, at least.
Yeah, MJ is about as good as it gets when you ask for somebody. I think the most famous I had was Nolan Ryan back when I was about 8 years old. But Jordan is a tough one to beat. Justin, I really appreciate it. Good luck the rest of the year. I mean, hopefully you get a little bit of a break, but it doesn't sound like you have much. And hopefully you can finally beat the jet lag, and we'll catch up with you maybe at the start of the 2017 season.
Sounds good, Sam. Thanks for having me on.
And that'll do it for this week's Clubhouse podcast. Many thanks to Justin Thomas. Many thanks to you for listening, for subscribing, for reviewing. If you haven't reviewed the podcast on iTunes, it really helps us out a lot. I really appreciate it. I'll give you a high five next time I see you. Of course, follow us on social media. Follow us on Twitter at Shane Bacon, and follow the podcast at the Clubhouse Pod. That's where we're going to do giveaways. We've got some stuff with Swing Juice in the making. Rate and review us if you don't mind. We really appreciate it. We're going to be back next week. And just a reminder that Swing Juice makes amazing t-shirts for the male and female golfer in your life. T-shirts are things that you wear until the threads go out. People just, they have those nasty old t-shirts. They don't want to get rid of them. Toss those things out and go to swingjuice.com right now and get yourself some new golf gear. The offer code BACON saves you 20% on all orders at checkout. It allows you to get rid of old shirts and bring in some new fun golf ones. You need some Swing Juice in your life, and with that offer code, you have absolutely no excuse. Go to swingjuice.com right now. You can thank us later, and that'll do it. Hopefully you get some golf in this weekend, make some birdies, and we will talk to you next week.